Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Live.
Starting to really work.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
No one thinks anything of us.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And who in this here national radio mosh pit has been saying over and over and over again?
Rich Eisen. Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Yahoo Sports columnist, Dan Wetzel. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Jason McCourty. Coming up from the Showtime drama City on a Hill, actor Kevin Bacon.
In.
And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the show right here on this very busy Friday. This is the last weekend coming up this weekend in which all 32 teams will not be fully constituted and active in their facilities for the rest of the calendar year. By this point next week, every team in the NFL will be in training camp, every player fully constituted, going through their whole season preparation, with the exception of whoever's going to hold out. But that's I'm so fired up, and I hope you are too. Kevin Bacon's here in studio. We're going to have a great conversation with him coming up in just about 15 minutes' time. Fantastic. Will be great. Great fun. Celebrity true or false with him. We've already done one with him in his last time he was here 3 years ago. But his career is so deep and vast and a lush history, we can do it again. And we will. We kick off hour number three with the latest on a story that we have been following all week long. We have been all over this story, and there is some news to update. It all started while I was away on vacation in Italy with the news that Heinz Field would now be called Acrisure Stadium. And the only thing I'm not Acrisure of completely is what the hell Acrisure does. No idea.
None.
You can read what they do and you're like, huh? Say that again? What is it?
Are they import export?
They are importers and exporters. They're the Vandalay Industries of whatever industry they're in.
Jenko Alba?
And so what happened eventually this week was the ketchup bottles that have been in Heinz Field representing the title sponsor's name, the Pittsburgh-based company's name, the ketchup bottles were removed, taken down. And we were all week long saying, where are the bottles? Where are they? We still don't know. We're trying to find out.
But
I guess there's a Heinz Museum there.
Yeah.
Chris, suggested put it in the airport.
Yep, right next to Franco
and George Washington. Right down from the Fred Rogers display.
Yeah. Yes.
So. Next to the dinosaur.
All great ideas. All germane conversation. Now, though, the Steelers announced yesterday there is, in fact, a newfound relationship between the Steelers and the good people at Heinz Ketchup.
Oh, yes.
Kraft Heinz and the Steelers have reached a verbal deal. I'm assuming their word is their bond.
Word bond.
A 5-year relationship, according to the Steelers, that will allow Heinz to maintain a presence at the place that no longer will be called, as you know, Heinz Field.
Acrisure.
Now, according to this story that I am reading in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it is entirely possible this new deal will allow the ketchup bottles to return.
Nice. They'll dump for the red zone.
The rent stays like before.
Also, what are they
going to
do?
Except I'm imagining it's, you know, not the same amount of money as Akrisure is bringing in. But, hey, Steeler fans, feeling down about Akrisure, not feeling too Akrisure about your feelings, how you're going to get through this very troubling times of Heinz Field no longer being called that, even though it's the same stadiums and the memories. No one's coming to take it away from you.
Still got to take the same route to get to the stadium.
Yep. It does appear that the ketchup bottles may actually stay. Turn the machines back on wherever the ketchup bottles are. Get them and bring them back. Come on, Steelers.
They couldn't have gone far.
Akrisure might be. Akrisure might be. Hey, we're spending $150 a year, up to maybe $300 large. And I don't want to see a big ass ketchup bottle in there. People might still think it's Heinz Field.
They're gonna call it.
They might not be so Akrisure what to call it.
Also, Rich, did that statement say Heinz would still have a presence in the stadium?
Wait.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, said, because what are they going to do? Take away Heinz? Like, you're going to have, like, Eddie from National Lampoon's Vacation? Real tomato ketchup, correct. Eddie? Like, are you going to have catsup?
Catsup!
Yeah, like, why are some ketchup spelled like
catsup?
Yeah.
You call it catsup?
Well, that's how it's spelled sometimes.
No, it's catsup.
Like, so, no, Rich, I just read an article on NBC Sports.
What?
Heinz Field Red Zone will remain without the ketchup bottle.
What?
Without?
Not Heinz Field. NBC Sports 921 this morning.
Yeah, you're reading about what Florio posted. I've got the same thing here. It still says that
the quoting. No.
Just stick to the levers and the buttons.
Oh, Mike.
According to the Steelers executive quoted here, there's a lot that needs to be covered in terms of detail.
A lot of my French fries need to be covered by ketchup,
but
too.
But we're working on an opportunity where we can have a bottle visible at the stadium.
Okay. Yes.
Come on.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Akrisure Stadium is large enough to not only have a Heinz ketchup bottle on display, but also to leave everybody wondering what the hell Akrisure really does. And some football. Winning football, because Mike Tomlin does not have losing seasons. So that's your update on the story that we have been all over.
Important.
Like ketchup on a hot dog.
It's a bird thing.
So there's that. Got that out of the way. A little ketchup before our bacon. What's more likely, NFL style? It's a party. Let's roll. Go. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
What do you got over there, Chris?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up, Chris?
Everybody good?
What up?
Friday. All right, two players we talk a lot about on this show, Jimmy G and Lamar Jackson. What's more likely to happen first, guys? Jimmy G gets a new team or Lamar gets a new deal?
Lamar gets a new deal. That's more likely to happen, and that's likely to happen in the next couple of days.
Breaking news here?
I'm not breaking news. The training camp starts Tuesday.
Oh?
You got a whole weekend to work on it. I don't know. You heard Florio in hour one talk about how Jimmy G, maybe late August, early September, rosters get set. I mean, yeah.
That's no good.
I'll go Lamar new contract before that. What else?
All right, here we go. Cleveland Browns breaking news. Josh Rosen is there to be the backup, maybe. I don't know. How about this? L.A., who's more likely? L.A. college quarterback with more 2022 starts.
Darnold or Rosen?
Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold.
Oh, man. Wow. How about Rosen taking Baker Mayfield's spot in Cleveland because Baker has to go to Carolina and share the same quarterback room as Sam Darnold? I mean, what the hell is happening?
If I put combined starts for those two guys at 0.5, over or under?
I will say Rosen doesn't start a game for Cleveland, that Jacoby Brissett will start the games for Cleveland.
Okay.
And I will say Mayfield gets the job in Carolina, but Darnold starts a couple of games due to whatever injury that Baker Mayfield might suffer. How about that?
I think that's most
that's
logical.
That's the most likely.
Yeah, most logical. Okay.
But if you're asking me there, I will take Darnold over Rosen in terms of starts this year.
I just want Josh to do well.
Me
like
too, man.
Kid.
He's one of our favorites.
Okay, Kyler Murray got paid, as we talked about all day yesterday. What's more likely, Cardinals miss the playoffs in 2022 or win a playoff game?
I say it's more likely they win a playoff game this year. Yeah.
Oh, D-Hop for 6 weeks?
No D-Hop for 6 weeks. I will say it's more likely that they win a playoff game this year. I just firmly believe that they're going to be a better team and that at some point they're going to put something together, and I think this year they will do it. I truly do. Now, I don't know how many teams are going to make it out of the NFC West, and I'm concerned about Lance's consistency in his first full year of starting. I think the Niners are going to have to reap the whirlwind a little bit here with Lance starting. There will be ups and downs. I hope it is completely smooth. And I don't know how many teams are going to make it out of the Central. I mean, out of the South. And I think maybe one or two teams could the Vikings make it out of the North? And as you know, I think the Eagles and Cowboys make it out of the East. I think Arizona's a playoff team this year, and I think they get in, and I think they win one. That's more likely.
Low-key move yesterday. Not sure you guys noticed this. Tom Brady has a new receiving target. Kyle Rudolph going down to Tampa.
Yes.
Makes me think Gronk is actually done.
Does What's not more make likely, me think though? That at all.
What's more likely? Kyle Rudolph catches 8 or more touchdowns. Or Gronk comes back.
Gronk comes back. Let me tell you something here. And we love Kyle Rudolph here as well, right? He's been great to be here on this program.
He's been a really good player.
And I think Brady and him will mesh very well. October rolls around, and Rudolph, let's say Rudolph has 4 touchdowns by that point in time, okay, which would be terrific.
That would be great.
Wouldn't it?
I'll take that. Fantasy?
Hey, Tommy. I've got an itch. What do you think? Do you think they'll let me scratch it? Or, hey, Gronk, stuff's going great here.
Yeah, we moved on.
No. Stuff's going great here with Kyle and,
Cameron Brake.
Cameron, you know? Did you see all those Camerons do well at the St. Andrews earlier this summer? And Gronk will be like, St. Woo? And so he'll still take him. You can run 2 tight end sets.
Okay.
Just ask Brady with Gronk, you know? So, yeah, I am not looking at Kyle Rudolph signing and saying, well, that's a closed door on Rob Gronkowski.
But why would Gronk come back? What does he have to prove?
Because he wants to win games and he loves playing. And if he does come back, he and Tommy go into the Hall of Fame together. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that if you're Gronk?
Because that dude's body is beat to crap,
man. I still think Tom's playing the next, 2 years.
All right.
You love Trey Lance, Rich. I've heard you talk about him. You
just
love
moments
Trey
ago.
Lance,
like
right?
He's a son, Chris.
Although I did say I was a little concerned about his consistency level moments
ago.
But
you have no doubt in your mind
that he's the starter?
That he's in the starter and he's going to play well.
And it's his team.
Even though he hasn't played in 2 years. But you need to see a little bit more out of Russell Wilson for some reason, even though he's probably going to the Hall of Fame and he has all kinds of great weapons around him. So what's more likely? Who's more likely to have the better fantasy year? Trey Lance or Russell Wilson?
Oh, I'll go with Russell Wilson on that front.
But you need to see more out of him, though.
I know.
I thought.
I know. But
But you need to see more. What do you mean?
I'm not going
to
keep talking myself into something. I'm not going to keep doing that.
But he's seen nothing out of Trey, Chris. So
I'm just expecting. It's Trey Lance's team. I said that. And I said, Trey Lance,
but nobody's doubting
excuse
that.
Me, all Trey Lance needs to do, as I said, is show up, stay healthy, know the playbook, be confident, see it, and rip it. That's tough to do when you are doing it for the first time in the NFL. You could name on one hand the first year NFL quarterback starters over the last, 15 years who were stellar. Coming out of the box, their first year starting.
Cam Newton.
You got Cam, but you also have Mahomes. You've got
Justin
Herbert. First year starting.
Yeah.
As a first year starter in the NFL, sometimes it's not your rookie season, like Mahomes. It's not your rookie season. Herbert. I mean, you could go back to Ben, Big Ben, right? I mean, it's so rare.
Handed it off a lot.
So, Russ, if you're just talking about fantasy, you're talking about numbers. I will take Russ.
Okay.
What else?
All right, last one, guys. We had a great time with Najee Harris this week.
We did.
Really, really enjoyed talking to him. Great personality. Did you see the video today of Nick Chubb squatting like 8,000 pounds?
Yes.
Whew. AFC North running back. Who's more likely to finish with more yards this year, Najee Harris or Nick Chubb?
I'll take Najee Harris. Nick Chubb has not been when was the last time Nick played all 16 or 17? When was that happen? And plus, Nick sometimes gives way to Kareem Hunt.
That's the biggest issue right there.
That's it. This is Najee. That's Najee.
I mean, if I told you Nick Chubb had more yards than Najee Harris last year,
I would believe it.
Okay. 1,259 to 1,200.
There
just
you go.
Saying.
Okay. I'll take Najee. Okay. You want to take Chubb? You take Chubb.
I didn't have him in my top 10, but I like Najee Harris.
Very good.
I agree, Rich. It's just like Kareem Hunt's too talented. You got to work him in as much as you can as well.
How about Najee saying, you know, he dropped a GD.
I'll get
500 carries.
I hope he doesn't.
That's great stuff. Go to our YouTube page for if you missed Najee Harris's appearance.
I hope he realizes 500 is too many.
All right, great. What's more likely?
Let's have fun.
Let's take a break because we got Kevin Bacon, man. Kevin Bacon coming out. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Our terrestrial radio audience will join us in a few short minutes, but it's all good because we have one of our favorite guests back here talking about one of my favorite shows on Showtime, City on a Hill. Season 3 is ready to roll, coming on the last day of this month, Sunday, July 31st, 10 p.m. Eastern on Showtime. One of the many things we'll be talking about with Kevin Bacon back here in studio. Good to see you, sir.
This is the nicest, most comfortable guest chair of any show that I
are you serious?
Yeah, I really love this chair.
No kidding.
I love the way it feels. I like the leather. It's got a good look. It brings out my eyes.
Well, it's yours to keep.
Thank you.
If you'd like it, you know, you can travel with it if you'd like.
Hey, pack this thing up, will you?
There you go. I love it. I love that you're comfortable. And I love that City on a Hill is back again, man. The way you play Jackie Rohr is Raw. I mean, how do I pronounce it really? I mean, how do you
Rohr?
Joe Rohr?
Rohr.
Okay, Jackie Rohr. Not the nicest guy, not the best guy, but one of the best anti-heroes that I've seen in quite some time. Here's a scene, season number 3. Jackie is out of the policing business. It was technically not really in it either, but Jill Hennessy plays your wife, and it's good to see you guys back together a little bit here.
Yeah.
And this is a scene, a City on a Hill, season 3 on Showtime coming up.
I haven't had your whistle in months.
Man starts over again every day in spite of all he knows, against all he knows.
You sure you want to work in Beacon Hill?
Yesterday you said I was a lazy bum. You compared me to your degenerate father and you beat my balls like scrambled eggs. So yeah, $2,000 a week cash to make sure the Dryden's doors are locked. That's the right decision.
I know you, Jackie. Now, there's more to this than just the money. Now, you like feeling like a cop again.
Wrong. I don't miss that life a single bit.
Good for you. You got your first lie of the day out of the way.
I love it, man.
So pretty much the whistling is the only thing you don't have to bleep in this.
That's
scene.
Pretty much, yes. We had to bleep a few things out. I can only imagine when you get the page in front of you and you see the language that they put in your mouth. It's kind of like
to do it.
No, but it must be like cutting into a nice piece of steak.
It's
right?
Great. No, they write great stuff for this man. I mean, I always have. I never have a scene that I look at and go, I don't really have much to do here. You know, and in a series that, you know, we've done 3 seasons of, that's pretty unusual. I think that it's been a great testament to the writers that they give Jackie cool stuff to play.
Yep, City on a Hill, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit. The City on a Hill, season three, coming up at the end of the month. Kevin Bacon is here in studio. Aldis Hodge has been here before talking about this show. Love it. Tucker was in season one. He was terrific in it as well. And Jackie Rohr, your character, is now in security, right? That's the way this is rolling right
now?
Yeah,
well, Jackie, you know, left the FBI at the end of, got dumped from the FBI at the end of season two and threw his badge in the Boston Harbor and swore that he would never be back. And you find them in this season sort of picking up some shifts, tending bar and make a couple of bucks, but basically sitting on his couch and watching cartoons all day. Mm-hmm. And his wife, played so well by Jill Hennessy, says, you know, you got to get out of the house. I didn't like you being an FBI agent, but this is ridiculous. You're you're a waste of space right now. So this ex-FBI special agent in charge, who's played by Corbin Burnson, comes knocking on my door and says, listen, he's a very wealthy man, and he lives in Beacon Hill, and he needs some private security for his family. His daughter's a little bit out of control. So I get this job working in his house with his daughter and his new young wife, and things get very complicated very fast.
Well, this is not your first rodeo, obviously, not just even with this character, but playing somebody, you know, from the Boston area and things of that nature. Who are you basing Jackie Rohr on? Are you basing it on anybody?
Well, you know, it's interesting because sometimes I really have to dig deep into trying to figure out who a character is. And I definitely did that after the fact with Jackie. Mm-hmm. But when I read the first scene in the first pilot those years ago when we started, I don't know, I just heard him. I saw the way he would move. I saw the way he would look, the wardrobe, the hair, the mustache, the whole thing. He just kind of came to me, and I don't really know. It's not anybody specific, but it is a, you know, there's a, I think of it as the culture of Boston, and Philadelphia is a little bit like this, you know, where I grew up, which is it's a large East Coast city, but it really feels like a small town. And especially in Boston, there's always somebody always knows a guy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you need that? Yeah, I know a guy, you know, and that's really the culture that Jackie comes from. He knows a guy, or sometimes he is the guy.
That's right. He knows a guy, or he is the guy.
Right.
I love that. And I love this show. I really do. The whole thing, from soup to nuts, you should start it at season one, obviously, if you're picking it up right now. City on a Hill, it premieres again Sunday, July 31st, 10 p.m. Eastern on Showtime. Are you watching any sports these days? Are you checking things out, or you're
I'm not
a Knick fan? And you still
is that, yeah no your, no is no, no. I definitely was loving the basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not quite as much of a baseball fan. I'm one of those sort of like, come now is when I'll start.
Okay.
You know, after the All-Star break is when I start to sort of like, you know, get into it. The thing that I really like about baseball. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, and I'm sure you guys talk about this all the time, is that it's probably the most theatrical of the sports in that there's these giant close-ups of internal human drama playing out, as opposed to, you know, when you're watching badminton, the coverage is so great now that you do get the close-ups, but basically, you know, watching basketball is a little bit more of a, you know, it's more of a dance, or it's more of a, you know, if I'm tying it to theater, you know, it's a little bit more like that.
Uh-huh.
Whereas baseball is like, you know, and
you're zooming in.
Yeah, just like what's going on inside people's minds. And that's what's really fun to me. But I was going to ask you about something.
Yes, Kevin.
And that is that, or anybody else that wants to chime in. I was thinking about the, I don't know if you saw the Adam Sandler sports movie that's on Hustle.
Yeah.
Right.
We had the actor who played the basketball player, Juancho Hernan Gomez, in that seat just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he's great.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm thinking about is athletes as actors, athletes as, you know, performances. Have you guys ever done like I don't know, just talked about what are the best performances by professional athletes.
Oh, no doubt about it, yeah. Right? Like, wouldn't you say...
Ray Allen and He Got Game.
Ray Allen and He Got Game
was
terrific.
Yep. How about Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Also with Sandler.
He's terrific.
Yeah.
Sandler's good at turning basketball players into actors right now.
I thought Kenny Smith was amazing also in the...
As the agent.
As the agent, yeah. And that's different because you're playing not a... Mm-hmm. You know, not an athlete. So anyway,
I'm trying to think who else. Who
are we
else
counting the Rock in this?
The Rock
as a
I don't know about that. We're talking about somebody who's like an actual professional athlete. LeBron in Trainwreck was hilarious.
Okay, that's a little controversial. What we just heard right there. You don't think the Rock was an actual professional athlete?
As a wrestling fan, I take
wrestling's a professional athlete.
Oh man.
Come on now. I mean, but all right. Did I just really step
also
in
was,
it?
He also was a football player. He played in the CFL. Yeah,
that's right. He was a football player.
Yeah, but The Rock was not like... You're talking about Ray Allen. Ray Allen was...
Okay, yeah. You mean like active, kind of?
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yes, like an active... Do you think of The Rock as an athlete turned actor now? I think of wrestlers as athletes, for sure.
I do, actually, but... This was a big moment for me.
Okay.
Every once in a while, you get mistaken for somebody else. And within the course of, about 2 weeks, I got mistaken as MacGyver.
Richard D. Anderson?
Yeah, we're going back a few years, but somebody said, aren't you MacGyver? I was like, no. But then, right on the heels of that, I got mistaken as Hunter.
Oh, Fred Dreyer?
Fred Dreyer?
Fred Dreyer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Bon Jovi. I can see someone mistaking you for Bon Jovi.
Well, no, I was trying to stay on the sports thing.
Well, he's been mistaken for Bon Jovi.
But I just thought, I don't know, man. That I was kind of like, yeah, you think? Am I getting a little too big? Is it
Fred Dreyer?
You were shredded in that clip that
neck,
we saw.
Do I have that kind of a neck?
No.
All right.
No, okay.
I was digging it.
I'm just kind of I'm still like reeling. Like, did I really just offend The Rock?
No. He'll get over it.
You offended me.
He's okay.
Is there any other sports?
Does Carl Weathers count?
Does Jim Brown count?
Jim Brown.
Reggie Jackson in The Naked Gun, killing the queen, threatening to kill the queen.
Arnold might get a little upset.
Kyrie and Uncle Drew?
No, I don't know.
What was Kyrie?
Uncle Drew.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Okay. I like it, though. Good question.
Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw.
Did you say Terry Bradshaw on Cannonball Run? Is that where you're going with on that one?
Yeah. I mean,
is he in that one?
Howie Long, yeah.
Burt Reynolds count? He played at Florida State.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds played. Yeah.
So you just opened a whole can of worms.
Yeah. Kurt Russell played minor league baseball.
Did you ever play anything?
No.
You were never.
I'm a terrible athlete. I think I've told you this story before.
Basketball movie, Kevin? Yeah.
I told you this story. I made a much, much inferior movie to Hustle where I played a coach who was scouting basketball players in Africa. And I have to play in the movie. And our technical advisor, who was with me all the time while we were shooting the movie, is the beloved Bob McAdoo. And Bob, once in an interview, said the hardest thing he ever had to do in his entire career was make Kevin Bacon look like a basketball player. So that was a real badge of honor for me.
Bob McAdoo's toughest thing he's ever had to do.
We're talking the air up there.
My gosh.
Right.
I wish I had that movie.
Kevin Bacon here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, we've done this before with you, but since you've got such a vast filmography and television career, we've come up with yet more celebrity true or false items for you, where you have said things or things have been said about your career that we need to know if they're true or false.
Okay.
Here we go. We've got a drop for it. Hit it.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
Well, you're familiar with that scene as well from that drop, I think, right there. Okay, very good.
Good drop.
First up for Kevin Bacon, celebrity true or false. True or false, you spent the money you made from your first movie within a week.
Yes.
That is a true story.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this was Animal House?
Animal House, yeah. Yeah, in the that to be brought 77, maybe 78, something like that.
And how much did you make from Animal House?
You know, maybe 2,000 bucks, 3,000 bucks, something
that's
like that.
$2,000, $3,000. Yeah. And you spent it within a week.
And and back then, I didn't even have an agent, so I didn't have to pay 10%.
So it's the full thing.
Listen, I was living large, man. And I spent it and had to go with my tail between my legs and back to my job as a waiter.
What'd you spend it on? Do you remember?
Well, I don't know. We have to get into that. It was the 70s, you know. Yeah. Look it up.
Platform shoes?
Platform shoes. Okay. That was it. A new pair of roller disco skates.
Two grand in 78 is pretty nice, right?
Wow. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Listen, yes. It was big. It was big money for me.
Well, you're hanging with Belushi, so I guess. Okay, very good. Next up, true or false, Kevin Bacon. To prepare for your role in Footloose, you attended classes at a high school in Utah at the age of 24, pretending to be a transfer student from Philadelphia. Is that true?
That's true, yeah.
What the hell? Really?
Like, yeah, I have always been somebody that, to the extent that I can, likes to do a ride-along. You know, we call that a ride-along. Uh-huh. Like when you're playing a cop, you know, you'll go out on a run.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably like the silliest ride along in history, but I had doubts about being able to pull off at 24, you know, being a 17-year-old kid, and I felt like maybe I needed to just experience what that was like, as well as experience what it would be. I grew up in Philadelphia and went to school in Philadelphia, so my parents didn't move around. I never had to move into a new place or a new town, not until I moved to New York to become an actor. So to be a fish out of water and to see what it would be like to thrown into a culturally different sort of place was, I felt, important.
So how deep did you get? Like, did you literally have a full day of classes?
A full day of classes, yeah. And the only people that knew were the principal. The principal was the only one. Like, none of the students, none of the teachers knew. So the teachers were actually super annoyed that I was coming in the middle of the year, you know, and they definitely had a, you know, who are you, big shot city kid, you know, kind of thing. But it was a lot of stuff that actually related a lot to what I actually had to go through in the movie. And I actually learned a lot from doing it.
Like actual academics? Did you take
tests? Not actually. No,
like,
no, no, no.
Did you have to do the work?
No, not the academics. Just the attitude. You know, I had this. I'll give you an example. I had an attitude that there was a shot of me coming into the school and walking in the first day,
mm-hmm.
and I had an attitude that having been raised in the big city on the East Coast, as the character was,
mm-hmm.
that I would be sort of, you know, badass, kind of, you know, strolling down the hall. You know, hey, you know, go ahead and get it your best shot. When I actually got into that situation, I was so terrified that I was like walking down the hall and just keeping my head down, you know what I mean? And trying to, you know, not get my ass kicked, basically. And you know, going into the bathroom and these big, you know, corn-fed dudes would come in and, you know, sort of start hassling me. And that's not something that I really expected. And so I adjusted the performance in the movie to reflect more of that.
How about that? When was the last time you held an LP version of the Footloose soundtrack?
I'd say about, I signed one about 2 days ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's another one.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
There's that one. These are yours, Mike Del Tufo?
Yeah, that's actually from my collection.
There you go. And then when was the last time? We need the Walkman.
Oh, and here's the Walkman, right?
By the way, and here's a picture disc version. There you go.
Oh, okay.
When was the last time you held a picture disc version?
That's been a while. What is a picture disc?
Mike, what is a picture disc?
It has the picture of the album on the actual LP itself, which is amazing.
But this doesn't play the movie.
Yes.
Oh, it does play.
No,
that's the actual album.
That would be laser disc. Right.
I actually have the laser disc of that because it's on the top.
I love
that and Saturday Night Fever are my two favorite soundtracks ever.
Oh yeah, it was a good soundtrack for sure.
The soundtrack's amazing.
Have you ever met Kenny Loggins?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've done the song with him. Yeah,
when?
Yeah. We were at a benefit or something like that. And our paths have crossed a number of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Here, I'll take those back. You might be requested to.
Okay.
Happy
to do it.
Okay. Next one, celebrity true or false with Kevin Bacon. True or false, while filming Apollo 13, Scenes in the zero-gravity plane could only occur in 25-second bursts, so the plane performed 612 dives. Is that true or false?
That's true. Damn. Yeah, they're called parabolas. It's really the only way to duplicate zero gravity on Earth. And basically what you do is you fly out over the Gulf of Mexico and from, you know, Houston, from where they were leaving from NASA. And you go straight up and then you dive. And during the dive, the centrifugal force and the gravitational pull balance out for 25 seconds. So we did it just as a sort of research thing, and then ride along type thing.
Yes.
And then Ron Howard, who directed the film, was having a conversation with Steven Spielberg, who he was talking to about the movie and stuff. And Spielberg suggested that we build the sets up there and actually use the zero gravity. So Ron was able to convince NASA to let us do it. And yeah, myself and Bill Paxton and Tom Hanks and I went up and did 612, you say, I guess.
Which one of you three was able to handle it the best, do you think?
Well, I can tell you that they gave us some pretty serious anti-nausea drugs. And it was a combination of drugs because the serious anti-nausea drug was so was such a downer that basically you just would want to sleep through the whole flight. So in order to combat that, you had to take some kind of speed.
Wow.
So we'd take them both at the same time, and then you'd kind of wait for it to see which one was going to kick in first. And one day, both Tom and Bill, if I remember correctly, decided to go a little bit cowboy and not take them. And they were not doing well. Now,
they went cold turkey. They just went straight
they decided
up with nothing.
And I was having none of it. And I was like, yeah, better living through chemistry. I never puked. I did have some moments of nausea, but it really is a question of whether or not you are prone to, you know, car sickness or boat right. sickness or whatever it is. You know, some people are more prone to it. And I remember there was a guy who was a big guy, big, you know, kind of football player type guy, grip. And he came up with us on the first run and never went up again. He just was completely incapacitated, you know, just puking after puke after puke after puke. They give you a thing, they call it an airman's corsage. You have to, aside from our wardrobe, our costumes, everybody else had to be in jumpsuits and jackboots, you know, mm-hmm. that was just the deal. And so you take the vomit bags and you have these kind of like pockets up here and you stick them down in with the top open, like kind of billing out like a corsage, so that at any given moment you could just take it out. You could just take it, reach it right out. And a lot of people were doing that.
So this is the real deal. Like you went through the real deal because Spielberg told Ron Howard that
exactly.
You should put him through the real deal.
Yeah, Spielberg told Ron and Ron told us. I told my wife and my wife said, are you out of your mind? You're going to go up in that thing every day. And then there was a problem with the plane. And then so the plane got grounded and then we had to go back to it. So it ended up being a lot of work.
Incredible. Last one for you. I guess this is going to be true since you talked about the ride-alongs here. You spent some time at Quantico preparing for your role as Captain Jack Ross in A Few Good Men.
Yeah, I did. I did.
What was that like?
Well, great. Listen, I think I've played, strangely, three or four Marines. I think that's the only branch of the military that I've ever done, which is mm-hmm. just Marines. I like to say that I could make it through about 5 minutes of boot camp. I mean, I would be like, get me out of here. But I really felt a need to, in every instance, to try to be as believable as I would as at one character as I would be at Jackie Rohr, you know, for mm-hmm. instance. And Marines, you know, they do have something that's like very specific about them in the way that they move, in the way that they engage, in the way that their attention to detail, for instance, on the uniform and in, you know, protocol and this sort of, you know, brothership that you hear a lot about. And so to get a sense of that and to basically be with Marines is like the best way to play one, I think. So I spent some time at Quantico.
So you spent some time there.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you see, I imagine at some point, if you are watching television and flipping around, A Few Good Men will pop up. It seems like it's got to be playing right now somewhere. When you see the final scene, what do you think of when you see the final scene?
What I think of in that final scene is how, you know, I've gotten an opportunity to work with a lot of great, great actors over the years. And Jack Nicholson, definitely one of the greats, one of my heroes before I ever, you know, was able to be in a scene with him. And it was so inspiring because we shot that scene with him doing that speech. And everybody was like, holy, this is going to be so good. And this is, he's just crushing it. But what people don't understand sometimes about shooting a film is that it's multiple takes of multiple angles. And so that's a whole day of him doing that speech. And after we've shot all of his coverage, meaning the stuff that's on him, you then have to turn around and you have to shoot Tom reacting and Demi reacting and me reacting and the jury reacting and, you know, all these other things. And all day long, he just kept bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. And it was really just cool. And you know, it makes you go. The great actors know that the scene is about everybody in the scene. And to deliver that kind of stuff for somebody off camera was just great to watch.
Yeah, I imagine it had to have been just amazing. Because there would be times where I guess you know you're not on camera and they're doing either him or somebody else. You would just be sitting there like everybody else, just staring at it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Before I let you go, let's talk about 6degrees.org, your charity. What's the latest going on with
that?
We have
kind of a fun thing that we are just kind of putting together now, which has to do with Philadelphia. It's kind of based on a tune that I wrote about Philly. It's called The Philly Thing. And a lot of what 6degrees does is we find good people who are doing great work down on the ground in grassroots organizations that maybe don't get the kind of exposure that the bigger kind of charities do. And so we found this really cool group in Philly called Rock to the Future, which is providing instruments and instrument lessons and recording situations for underserved kids in the Philadelphia area. And we kind of constructed this song to have them play on it and bring some exposure to Rock to the Future. So we're going to be dropping that sometime in the next few months.
And, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. And I guess that leads to one extra true or false in terms of 6 degrees. Is it true or false that you're a distant relative to Robert Redford, Mark Hamill, and Richard Nixon?
I don't know. I've heard the Richard Nixon one.
Really?
You know, I did that Finding Your Roots thing with Henry Louis Gates. And you know, I mean, I think that the cousin thing is distant relative. I mean,
it's
not that hard to be a distant relative to pretty much anybody. I mean,
Well, you are Kevin Bacon.
Well, what we found out was that my wife and I are cousins. So there you go.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a reveal.
That's a big reveal. Yeah.
So the Redford and Ham, Robert Redford and
I'll
Mark
take
Hamill.
It. Listen, okay. I'll take it. You know,
all right.
Whatever.
Okay. There you go. You have the force. They/Them as well is coming right here on Peacock starting August 5th. You are in this film. It's a horror movie, huh?
It's a horror movie set in a gay conversion camp. It's a very, very cool idea.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a scary movie, and I play the head of this camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of the horror of the movie is that this even exists, that people think that this is even an option in terms of trying to change someone's way of life with, you know, words or mind control or whatever it is. But it's also like a really kind of empowering film for LGBTQ youth. And I think people are going to get a big kick out of it. It will not be without controversy, which is awesome. And it also is a little bit of a nod to a world that I came from in some ways, because one of my first movies was Friday the 13th, which was a horror movie set in a camp. And now the tables have turned, and it's my camp. So
look at that. Fantastic. And that's on August the 5th. That is a Friday, August the 5th, a different Friday with a different meeting. They/Them on Peacock August 5th. And on July 31st, the return of City on a Hill for season number 3. You are welcome here anytime, sir, as you
always
know.
Always great to be here.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you. Thanks very much. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show, the great Kevin Bacon will be wrapping the show when we come back. Send you to the weekend in a second. That was a blast, huh?
Kevin Bacon.
Amazing.
I mean,
what a great guy.
Everybody footloose.
And he signed your album.
Those are like part of the, those are great. They're literally going to be like, I already hit them. They're gone.
They're already up on eBay.
No, I would never do that.
Would you be able to pull that off today as a 24-year-old in the high school?
Absolutely not.
No.
Don't you think?
Absolutely not.
Just like telling a principal, hey, I'm a 24-year-old actor and I want to come into your high school and just see what it's like to be. No. You know, living in a spot where dancing is verboten and, you know,
the problem
small
with,
town
the problem
America.
For me is, Rich, when I was in high school, I looked 24. So it wouldn't have really worked. Mm.
You know what I keep forgetting, too? But I'll bring it up. Remember Alan Ruck told us that he was 20. He was 28.
20,
yeah,
he was
nuts.
Playing 20, Cameron.
Yeah. It's nuts.
That he was in his late 20s.
Yeah.
That Mia Sara was the only one on the set of Ferris Bueller's Day Off who was actually the age that they were portraying. Remember that? That was in an Alan Ruck celebrity, True or False.
Yep.
That's
he was here way back in the day promoting that newfangled show called Succession.
Exactly. Oh my God.
I'm serious. That's what it was.
I know. Who knew that show would be on Rocket Ship?
Freaking Rocket Ship.
I was watching All the Right Moves the other day and just went to IMDb later and saw that Tom Cruise and Leah Thompson both did the same thing. Went back to high school, and Tom Cruise, they said, got recognized day one. Like,
went back to
tried to just go back in high school to research the Stefan Georgievich part, got recognized right off the bat. And they said Leah Thompson, whatever school she went to, she got asked out on like 5 dates. So
I loved Leah Thompson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Filmed in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Then her in Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Mm.
Boy.
Michael J. Fox was older for that too.
I imagine so.
Back to the Future?
Hey, yeah, Rich.
That's a good
number. Me, Mike, and Chris were having a discussion earlier today. I'm going to ask Chris, ask Rich.
Ask Rich.
The question that
ask
we,
Rich what?
Well, what we were talking about.
What we were talking about. I would love to get
these there. Guys think there's nobody alive on planet Earth who's never heard of Michael Jackson.
Of a certain age.
Of a certain age.
Obviously not an infant. But I'm saying if you're over like 8.
Chris is saying
like
that
Elvis.
Like
I'm saying, we go what I'm saying mall. Is we could go to the mall right now and I could find 10 people who have never heard of Michael Jackson.
You could?
I think so.
I think that's impossible.
I think so, too.
So you agree?
10 people over the age of 12?
But they might... They. You have to include that they've never heard of what he's done. You understand?
Do you know... Excuse me. I know you're in the mall. Do you know who Michael Jackson is? Yes or no? And they'll... we can find 10.
But then you play like Thriller and they'll be like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
No, we won't play. We'll just explain.
I just want to ask them who Michael Jackson is. And they'll probably say no.
Oh, some people have just got their heads completely in the sand. I'd agree with you.
Thank you, Rich.
Callaway Jaws. It's just fine for the Jaws. Callaway Jaws. This is the wedge that creates the rawest form of spin possible to deliver the best performance. The new Jaws Raw from Callaway. When we say raw, we mean Callaway has eliminated any material between the club face and the ball that translates to more friction. We're talking about one hop and stop spin. And for the first time ever, Callaway optimized wedge weighting using tungsten technology to give you a noticeably better control and trajectory so you can attack the pin knowing your ball is going to fly and bite exactly the way you want it to. Jaws Raw comes in 4 grinds, including the all-new Z-Grind for a more forgiving shot maker's wedge, as well as 17 loft and bounce combinations for every type of condition and playing style. Jaws Raw doesn't just give you better wedge performance. It gives you pure spin in its rawest form. Get yours at CallawayGolf.com/JawsRaw. Let me just tell everybody the following. I don't know if championship rings in professional football anymore is to actually wear out and about.
Definitely not. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
definitely not.
They just getting bigger, and now like they're double decker. Now they're so big. Screw there's something inside.
Yeah.
Like maybe you could just leave some food in there.
Yeah.
You can like a little refrigerating system.
Yes. Like a portable refrigerator.
The Rams rings are ridiculous.
They're so
beautiful.
Crazy.
Look at that. I love beautiful. The palm trees. I love the gold. I love the diamond rings. That is beautiful. That is truly beautiful. But then you open it up, and inside is the actual stadium.
By the way,
it says Rams Bengals on there. It's like a shot of the actual field. Just check it out at the Rams sites. And then you look on the side. It's the stadium. It's SoFi. It is beautifully done.
Piece of the football that won the game inside.
Yeah, that was about to say. Did you guys notice that? Yeah.
That's the little
shout out to Jason of Beverly Hills who makes these rings, man. This guy does an incredible job.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't wear them walking around in Beverly Hills because they'll follow you home. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be.
It's beautiful.
It is a. When do you wear them? Just walking around the house?
Hey, you wear them to the next one. Like Tom Brady only brings them out when they would go to the next ring. Ceremony.
So he can go like with a.
Do you remember they used to be like the size of like your graduation class ring? Yeah. I know.
I was actually just going to look on eBay to see if anybody's is
selling them already.
Yeah, well, not the Rams ones, just like old time ones.
Ring me.
Guys do sell them when they get they start.
Look at Aaron Donald. Just living
beautiful.
His best life.
By the way, I like Aaron Donald's chances of walking around Beverly Hills
and then being able to do
fine.
It.
Yeah, I mean he's good. You know, they'll probably pick someone else to follow.
I'm telling you what. It's just that they don't make rings like they used to anymore.
No, they're beautiful.
Honestly, look at that. Look at Von Miller's ring.
One time.
I imagine that's next to his Broncos one. Yeah. It's just
right.
It's like
he's just gonna get bigger.
It's like three times.
Yeah. It's like a brooch.
It's crazy.
I mean, is he going? I mean, he's got a good chance of getting the third one this year.
This year with the Bills.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon, you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna make a ring. It's gonna be like for two fingers.
It's gonna go over the
whole.
Soon,
it's gonna be like brass knuckles.
Yep. I want a Radio Raheem four finger ring. But
that's what it's gonna be.
Gonna win four titles.
That's what it's gonna be.
That's what it's gonna be.
Radio Raheem Morris might be the first to
Radio,
get it.
Love and hate, you know.
They're crazy. When I saw
they're definitely
that,
not practical anymore. They're works of art.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
I saw some people kind of complaining that, when a franchise wins more than one, they put the second, the two, the three. There's only one trophy on that. The St. Louis Rams won a Super Bowl.
Oh,
shouldn't
boy.
There be two on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Stan's turned the page. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Never thought about that.
I'm just saying.
Shot at St. Louis.
Beautiful rings. Congratulations to the Rams. Now they got to go win another one.
According to Jerry Jones, the other owners pay for those rings.
Oh, look at that.
He told me that once.
Okay. Thanks for watching this show. We wrap it up. We'll see you next week.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.